Hello, everyone. Dr. Mackenzie Brooks here. Welcome to Women's Work Quickening. This is what women do. All over our planet, incredible women are engaged in all kinds of life essential, life respecting, life supporting, and life enhancing actions. We at DrMackenzieBrooks.com are collecting the stories of these women, audio recording them, and compiling them in one location for women to access, to listen to, and perhaps to be inspired by the inner and outer journeys that these women of voice and action are walking. Every story shared by these women of voice and action offer us an opportunity to learn and benefit from the life learnings and wisdoms that these women have gained on their heroic journeys and now are sharing their stories with us. My deepest desire is that you enjoy listening to this inspiring woman as much as I've enjoyed engaging in this conversation with her. Today is November 17, 2015, and we are joined by Leona Gallant. Leona lives in Nanaimo, British Columbia, Canada. Leona has 40 years of experience working in the healing arts, counseling, trainer of trainers, and community development fields. She has provided extensive training in personal development, diversity training, and organizational change. Leona has facilitated counselor training programs for Tillicum Laylum Aboriginal Friendship Center in Nanaimo, British Columbia. Leona has 20 years of experience presenting and working with Virginia Satir's family development model. In her consulting business, Leona provides personal development, diversity training, retreats, seminars, and workshops. She is currently working one-on-one with individuals wanting to explore their own essence. Leona leads and facilitates women's groups and provides training for individuals who want to understand and integrate Virginia Satir's family development model into their own work. Leona's education is ongoing, experiential, and self-directed. Her belief is that we never stop learning. She has trained with and learned from the following masters: Virginia Satir, Maria Gomori, Bennett Wong, Jock McKean, and many others at the Haven on Gabriola Island. She studied at Athabasca University Women's Studies, Vancouver Island University, and Newman University in Kansas. Leona has studied and incorporated many different therapeutic modalities into her approach, including Reiki Master, Quantum Energy Work, Hakomi, Mindful Experiential and Compassionate Therapy, and she also weaves the medicine wheel and native spirituality into her work. Leona is deeply connected to nature, and it is her belief that as we connect to self, others, and nature, our world opens and joy enters. Her ability to journey with and empathically and compassionately connect to people as they reveal their life stories is both transformative and enlightening. Leona may be contacted at 250-754-1316 or leonagallant@gmail.com. Hello, Leona. Thank you for joining us.
Hello, Mackenzie. Thank you for asking me to join you. On this kind of cloudy, foggy morning, it's really beautiful to hear your voice. I live alone, and so in the morning sometimes it's just wonderful to hear another voice. And so thank you for your voice this morning.
Thank you, Leona. So, Leona, would you please tell us how you found yourself doing what it is that you do?
Well, when I was, I grew up in Royal Saskatchewan, and on a farm, well, today probably would be called a hobby farm, but on the farm that I grew up, we survived as a family of 10. And so how I come to do what I'm doing today comes from how I grew up and what happened to me in my growing up years and how I learned to cope in those, in that environment. And as I grew up, got married, had children, and then decided to begin to work, think about going out and doing a career work, I was like I'm kind of an organic kind of person, and so it had to fit into my life. It had to be a part of my life. And what I was looking for was healing from a lot of the pain and the struggle of the life that I grew up in. And so I wanted to work in that area, and I wanted to get educated. And so I began to look at that and think about it, and I had a friend at the time, and so we went to a couple of workshops and things about, you know, how to figure out what you want to do in your life. And she took the route of going to university, which I really, really respected, and I took the route of experiential and self-directed learning. And at the time, it was like taking an action for women. And for, I thought I wanted to leave a legacy to my daughter and to my granddaughters that would be coming, and to the women in the world that there always are options to do things in a different way than what is the norm or what is put forth. And so I decided to, because I wanted to work in counseling and I wanted to definitely work in family violence and looking at how that impacted me and impacted other people. And so I went to the masters. So I learned from the masters. One of the masters I learned from was Virginia Satir. And then what I recognized is that as I started to do this work and with having the two prong of doing my own healing and learning from it and having that as a goal and as a way, I recognized that I would never ever stop learning. That learning is a lifetime process, and it's an exciting process, and it's something I never have to stop doing. Like, I'm never going to get a degree that says I'm finished. And for me, that was important. As I think going to university is amazing. I'm actually being drawn to do that right now. And that's an amazing process to go through, and a wonderful learning process to go through. And the experiential and self-directed is also a very empowering, because I figured out who I wanted to learn from and what it was that I wanted to focus on. And so in that place, my world opened up to an amazing horizon of avenues in which I could move, which I could go, and which I could work in. And so that's how I began to go into the work field. And I knew my first resume was about all that I learned as a mom and as a wife and as I grew up. Some of the skills that I learned, all that I learned from that. So I recognize that life experience is one of the greatest opportunities to learn that there can be. And I found myself in doing that. I found out who I was. I found out how I could be. And I found out the amazing wonderfulness of living in this world. The action that I'm taking today as an elder and as a, I'm 76 years old, and what I've found in the 70s is different than the 60s and the 50s, but the action that I see that I'm taking today is not, I want to say not, the action that I'm taking today is trying to put into the world, is putting into the world, not trying, is putting into the world the understanding about how amazing our world is, how connection is what's important, and to look for the things that are working, and to constantly be putting those forth, rather than the things that aren't working. And in that, I'm not saying that I don't look at what's not working, but I think that we're lacking in this society, in our culture, we're lacking how to look at what's positive. How to see how, for instance, our forests are surviving and making themselves regrow and be a part of what they are. And so everything is surviving at this point. How are we surviving? Rather than how are we destroying? How are the oceans surviving? And how is our earth surviving? And how are families surviving at this moment? And how is the individual surviving? And so in knowing and understanding and pulling at those pieces of survival and enjoyment about being in this world, it's like opportunities open up to see how I can deal with, or we can deal with, or our communities can deal with how to connect and how to make this different. And for me, it's never been an individual thing. It's always in community, in connection. And I think that's because I come from a family of 10. And so we never moved without moving as a group. And my action today is that looking and trying to find out how everything is surviving and being a part of the survival of our planet, our universe, each other on this planet, and honoring the dignity of each individual. Because every one of us is more than our life experiences. And every one of us, I think, on this planet, on some level, on some cell in our bodies, is drawn towards survival. And drawn towards wanting to love and to be loved. And I think that's what I know that as an elder, that's what I'm looking at. That's what I'm wanting to put into this world right now. When I was young, I'd go on marches, I'd go on Earth Day, I'd do all kinds of different things. And that in this last years has totally shifted. And I've become so grounded in this place, that I don't need to do anything else but this. And it's like a jewel in, it's like walking into, how do I put it? Walking on this world, in this world, and seeing both, and walking in the light. Attempting to walk in the light. attempting to, without losing the knowledge of the pain, the awareness of the suffering that's going on, and the ability to feel that and not lose the compassion and not lose the awareness that there's something bigger than what's going on, and no matter what it is that's happening in our world and in the universe. And I want to be a part of that. I want to be able to look at my grandchildren's eyes and see their light, their eyes shine bright and light and full of the ability to laugh so freely. And I guess I'm in a place where that laughter is makes my heart feel good. And it's very, very difficult for me to, has been all my life, to be a part of pain and not be lost in it. And I think the work for me has been to be able to look at life, see it with open eyes, and not shut my eyes. And have my eyes see the inside and the outside at the same time. Yeah.
Leona, what impact has taking action had on your life?
Oh, right now, the action I'm talking about, the impact, is a movement from judgment. A total movement from judgment. It's like when I see this and I look at my forest, I look at my trees, you know, I say mine because I feel like I'm part of them. I work with the rocks that I work with, and I allow the rocks to speak to my heart. And the water and the air and the, when I do that, I recognize that the effect that it's had on me is that I'm beginning to know what it is like to be at one with my environment and to be at one with whoever it is that I'm in contact with. Like, I don't feel like I have to be higher or lower. And one of the benefits, I don't want to call it benefits, one of the amazing feats that Virginia Satir brought into our world was the ability to see how we are in relationship with each other and how that can change. And to see the whole and to see the quality that's within us, just the way that our whole body works. You know, if my heart isn't there, my brain will go ahead. But if my heart is there with my brain, with my body, holy man, I can go a lot faster than what I could possibly go just with my head. You know, and I think that if we translate who we are as human beings into who we are as planetarians. I call us planetarians in this world. I had a dream one time where a little old gentleman came into my dream and told me that you will now be called planetarians. And that was in the 70s. And so that dream changed the way I looked at the world at the time. And I became a planetarian. And it's like, what a joyful thing to recognize that, wow, you know, like, we are all one in this universe. like we might look different, we might have different ideas, and we might have different ways of being in the world and all that. But, wow, we breathe. We breathe together. The same as our planet breathes. We breathe together. And just that message in itself, we breathe together, is a message that I want to talk to my children about, my adult children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, all of the women that I work with, and the men that I work with. And so I don't feel like I'll ever stop working. When I say working, I'll never stop doing what I'm doing, because I don't look at it as work. Some of it I get paid for, some of it I don't. And so, but I'm me in the work, and I'm me in who I am. Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Leona, you mentioned a bit earlier that you're doing some work with stones. Would you be willing to share a bit more about what you're doing?
With stones, what I do is I do a process. How it came to me is I had to move one time and leave this beautiful island to go to Edmonton. It was such a painful experience that I'd go for walks and a little pebble by the side of the road would somehow catch my eye, and I'd pick up the pebble and I'd hold it. And I would pour all the whatever was going on inside me into this little rock. And I would come to some really deep understanding and some deep kind of awareness of how I needed to be with all of that that I was going through at the time. So I translated that into when I work with families, with people, I do family of origin work. Which, you know, you're an individual and you do family of origin work and you're talking about your sisters and your brothers, your mom and dad, your aunts and uncles, your grandpas and stuff. Well, I decided to start using the rocks as, like, for instance, if I was working with you and you were talking about your sister, I'd ask you to pick a rock to represent your sister. And you would start to relate to that rock and talk to you and recognize what the rock is. How it looks, what do you see in it, how does it feel, and then you put it in relationship to yourself, and then we begin to build a picture of the family and the picture of the environment that is around it. So if there was a huge trauma, there's also something that depicts the trauma in the life. And then what I do is I just start the storytelling and the awareness of how everyone in that space interacted and how they were with each other. And it takes what's inside and gives a picture on the outside. And there's an element of really understanding that everything is so connected. So the rocks in that moment can give a person a real sense of connectedness to the inside. It's very tactile. And I found that with children, that's really been a pleasure for them. They have a really fun time. And for people who, like I have a grandson who's autistic, and it's much easier to communicate to him with this type of media to work with and to be with. And it's, I find working with rocks in this way, whether you're searching through what you may want for yourself in the world and what stops you from that, or what you may want to change from your past and how you can look at it with new eyes and different eyes, and what is it that you gained from everything that's happened to you that working with the rocks seems to heal. And there's something about the connection that happens in that. Because what we're doing is we're connecting to Earth, we're connecting to each other, and we're connecting to our stories. And so it somehow brings in the wider universe. And the rocks seem to bring in an aspect of spirit that is generally acceptable in the moment as just that, as somehow spirit touching heart. And so I do one-to-one work with people with rocks, and I incorporate the medicine wheel in that. So the medicine wheel has taught me a lot around how to stay connected to everything within and stay connected to everything without as well. So, yeah. In my background, I'm a Métis, which is, I'm French and I'm Cree, and I grew up French. I also grew up knowing that I was half-breed, and in rural Saskatchewan, that was not a nice thing to be. And so I grew up not knowing that piece, and yet knowing it. And then as a woman, when I started my work world, I knew I needed to connect that piece to myself. And for a while, it was difficult because I didn't know if I was, you know, when I was in the place where I worked with and I was with in the communities, in the Native communities, I lost that other part of myself. And when I was in the Caucasian community, I lost the other part for a while. When I first started getting connected, and so I knew about the two separate parts. And for me, I know there's many more parts to us than everything else. But it was very basic. And I think because of the word half-breed, it was very graphic. And so moving from that, pulling those two pieces together, and recognizing the value and the immenseness of that has been a journey, a real journey, because what it's opened me up to, I think it's more opened me up to acceptance of all nationalities than anything else in my life. It's been such a rewarding experience in being able to live in this world today with hope and with and with hope and with compassion. Yeah. So learning from my life experiences and integrating them into what I do as is a lifelong journey. Mm-hmm. It's been hard to stay standing sometimes. I want to say stay standing because of the stories I've heard and the awareness of what goes on in with people. And it's hard sometimes to stay standing when I see the pain that people inflict on each other and on themselves, on ourselves, on, you know. I so want to not push any of that away, but as I look at that, see the light that surrounds it, and not fall into resentment or fall into despair. Not that it's not okay to have resentment and despair. I think it is, because we have it. Everything that we have, you know. It's just not to fall into it, not to think that that's the only thing there is. There's more. There's more to everything that comes my way than what I initially see or hear. And the work that I do at this time of my life is, I do a women's group who, the women, are changing their life step by step. And to be a part of that kind of transformation is such a privilege. It's such a privilege. And I would say the effect that whatever action I take is the awareness that it's such a privilege to stand on this earth. And to welcome someone into my home. Now that doesn't, like when I say that, the part of me thinks, oh well, you know, that's not going to clean up the waters, and that's not going to, you know, you got to get out there and you got to do something in it. And I think, yeah, there was a time when that was there for me and I needed to do that. And there's a time where there's so many people doing that and it's so amazingly wonderful that they are. And I don't want to lose the place where I'm at, because to me it's a woman's voice. And so much of my life, I have not said what I thought as a woman, because it didn't kind of fit the norm. And I'm not doing that anymore. Like women's voices, I really believe, no matter what they say, have to be heard. And I think men's voices have to be heard. And that means that what's inside of me that wants to be said can be put out if I have the courage to do it. And we all have courage. So it's how I develop that courage and how I walk out with it and what I do with it. And I think sometimes the most courageous act is to see humor and to laugh. And sometimes that's the most courageous. When I watch the news on Paris the other night, and at the end of the news, they put out a French word, and they described what the French word said. And it was like the people of France are saying to anyone who from that experience that need shelter or food or anything, that the people of France are open. And I thought, wow. That's an amazing, beautiful response.
As a woman, Leona, what have you learned?
What have I learned as a woman? Well, I've learned that the way that we've been cultured as women doesn't fit us. Doesn't fit me as a woman. And I have a belief it doesn't fit women. The way that the construct of our world, whether it be whether we are heterosexual, gay, lesbian, any race, the prejudice that come through in those, in the way that our society is, has been structured. I've learned all that. I've learned all that. And I had an amazing experience that told me that anything I've learned can be unlearned. And there's an openness to learn something new and something different than I've ever known before. And so I'm always curious about that and searching for that. And so I've learned how, as a woman, I've learned, and I think I know that as women, as a woman, that the best quality that we have is, one of the best qualities we have is curiosity. How come it's that way? Does it have to be? Can we do something different? What can we do about it? How can we work together to make it work? You know, like, what I've learned as a woman is that women have the ability to bring peace into this world. And I believe that from the bottom of my heart. That we as women, as we move and shift and move out into the world, have the ability to bring peace into the world. And we need to have our voices heard. So anywhere that a woman's voice is heard, I think is amazing. It's an amazing thing. And I look for it, and I try to hear what's being said. And I'm not saying that men's voices aren't just as important. But I think women haven't. I think I know that for myself, my mom, my sisters, my aunts. The culture that we've learned is so strong. You know, oh, you don't do that. Oh, you know, you, if you say that, then there's, you know, you think you know something or something. You know, all kinds of different ways that women have been cultured from their families, from their siblings, from their teachers, from media, from their religious leaders, from their government leaders, from what they see goes on, what women are the most amazing, beautiful heart of the world. I think we are the heart of the world. And I want to encourage that. I want to experience that. I want to be a part of the heart of the world. And I am a part of the heart of the world. And so I've learned that. I've learned that as a woman, I'm part of the heart of this world. And I can make my voice heard. It might be it might be on the bus, it might be sitting having a cup of coffee, it might be leading a group of women and men, it might be in whatever group that I'm involved in, whatever interaction that I'm involved in, that I can bring heart to it. And I really, really value that. And I think I learned that through all the different ways that I've been in the world in my time that I've been here. And possibly the past lives that I've been a part of. So I learned that there's an answer if we find and we search and we look. And the answer is only in cooperation and communion with each other and somehow working together, that we are not going to create peace in our world unless we are in relationship with each other and with the world and with the earth. In relationship with the universe, like the trees, the water, the air we breathe. So for me, what I've learned is that relationship is so important. And the first relationship is with yourself. Yeah. And yet, the first relationship is connected to your mom and your womb. The moment the two, the egg and the sperm meet, you're in relationship right away. Yeah. So it's very, very important, I think. And consciousness, in building consciousness in to every aspect that a person has in their life is what's important, I think.
What are women's strengths and wisdoms, Leona?
Well, I get the image of a spinning wheel. And I get the image of a lamb, a sheep. And the wool that comes from the sheep and the cleaning of it and the carding of it and the spinning of it and the colors, the dyeing of it and the fingers that put the images together as the wheel spins, as you spin it and work with it and do it. So that's the image I got. The ability to give birth, the ability to give birth not only to their own species, but to give birth to brand new ideas and different ways of doing things, and give birth to the idea that we can live in this world without war. I think that's a woman's strength. I think that that's a definite women's strength. It might have gotten lost, it might be buried, but it's there. The ability to take care of and to see the potential in whatever is in front of them, that there's potential. The potential, if you put this together and that together, and if you take this stream of thought and you weave it and you open it to something else and you put in another color and you put in an image that might work there, a little bit of water, a little bit of trees, you begin to see a picture. And you begin to have something that's tactile, that's real, that you can use, that you can use to keep yourself warm, or you can use to make yourself beautiful, or you can use to adorn your table, or like women know how to take whatever is there and make something out of it. And the strength in that is so powerful. I think women know how to, my mom knew how to eke a living with no water, no electricity, and a husband who was gone most of the time. And she learned how to do everything from cook to can to plow to bake to sew. She had an old Singer sewing machine that she knew every little part of it and had taken it apart and put it back together again, because she always told us, this sewing machine is my life, I need to have it. It needs to be running. You know, that's a woman's power. That power that woman had in my life showed me that what a woman can do. How strong. Living in rural Saskatchewan in the middle of the winter and I'm from a person who washed clothes on the scrub board. You know, in the middle of the winter, and I'd come home from school and have to take the sheets off the line and you'd have to hit them because they were frozen. You know, like, she washed the sheets in the middle of the winter. And hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of women have done the menial tasks of making a home and making life work and making life beautiful and making life nurturing. And that, to me, my mom's ability to survive and her ability to know that if she walked out into nature, there'd be something there that she could use for something that she needed. And her strength and her ability to be in the world, her commitment, has taught me the potential of women. And then, as I start my experiential learning, I learn from both men and women, but the powerful women that I took into my life and I'm still taking into my life, it makes me excited to be a woman. Makes living in this world a safe place. And when I say that, I know that we don't see this world as safe right now. Being a woman, I know about survival. And connection. And life and death. And there's more to life than death. There's more to death than life. You know, like the strength of women. You could go on forever, but I think the biggest strength of women is that when I look at another woman, I see myself. And I see myself, and I see myself, and I see myself. And I think, wow, how wonderful to be a part of this. how wonderful to be a woman in today's world. And how strong we are as women. And I see that in my granddaughters, my daughter. Oh, wow. My sisters. And my friends so much. Yeah. So the strength of a woman to take something from nothing and make something out of it. We have within us, I really know this, we have within us the ability to make this, to bring the heart into the world. We have that ability. Whether we do it or not, that's another story. But my work is about helping women to see that within themselves and helping them see the total potential they have just being a woman. Yeah. What a privilege that is to be a woman in this world. And it's not always been honored, and it's not always been looked after. But there was a time in the goddess world where women were goddesses, and I don't think we've ever lost that. We are goddesses in this world that we live in. And we're alchemists, so that's our strength. And I know that we're alchemists. And to open up to that, being an alchemist in this world, how do I make gold out of a piece of dirt? That's a possibility. Yeah, so there are always possibilities, you know. I believe that there's always a possibility. Yeah. When I look inside, deep inside, this is the way I think and it's the way I believe. It isn't always my behavior on the outside, because I can all of a sudden be totally in despair over what's going on and try to find out what to do in that place. But if I look deep inside, I know that as a woman, I know how to be an alchemist and I know how to be a goddess, and I know how to bring peace into this world. What a legacy to pass on to my siblings, my daughter, my granddaughters, my sons, my friends, my brothers. Yeah. And because I'm talking about being a woman, I think I could talk a lot about what I think about the strength of men in our world and honor that because one without the other. Why are we here? Why are we born into this world that we're born into? and we're here, you know? And as I give birth to both male and female, and we look into the world and see that there is male and female in every aspect of the world, whether it be a tree or an insect or what, my hope is that I can learn how to live in peace. And I am doing that in our world today. So that doesn't mean that I have to see the whole world in peace, but I can live my own life in peace. And every individual has that right. And every individual has within them what they need in order to live in peace. It's just some of it is covered over with trauma, with lack of awareness of self, with not knowing the beauty of being connected and being loved and being able to love. So the strength of what I'm saying is a strength that it's like the air. You don't see it. But if you can't breathe, you're not here. So the strength that we have is like the air that we breathe. Without that strength, we wouldn't be here. And we have it. It's there. It's integral to our being. Yeah.
Based on your own life learnings, what do you invite other women to know?
I invite them to know that they're not their life experiences. That their life experiences happen to them, and they're not their life experiences. And that there is there's a way of looking at that and understanding the life experiences that can give a person a whole new meaning in the world. And so I would want people to know that they are more than their life experiences. That life happens to me. I am more than my life experiences. I learned from them. I decided to react in a certain way. I can change that anytime I want. It's not who I am. Who I thought I was. It's not who I am. Every decade of my life, I'm like, I see that clearer and clearer and clearer. And the shining pillar of the person within begins to shine, you know, like that. Sometimes the images get a little abstract, but I would want women to know how immeasurably strong they are on the inside, and what a wonderful gift our bodies are. And our ability to breathe and our ability to move, our ability to have our hearts beat, our blood course through our veins. I want women to know that they are loved by themselves if they open to it. And I think there's ways to help women to do that. And I want to be a part of that. And I am a part of that. And the more that women know the fullness of themselves and the abilities that they have within, and to begin to put those out into the world, the stronger our world is going to be. And I want to be a part of that kind of a movement. And I am a part of that, because that's what I encourage women to do, is to find that inner core of strength that's there. And no matter what pain or what struggle or what trauma that happened to me, I can still learn from that today. That doesn't have to say who I am. I can learn from that. And experience that the spirit that I am, the human that I am, the tree that I am, the stone that I am, the piece of earth that I am, I would want women to know that we are so we are so connected to everything, and it all supports us in some way. If I open my eyes to see, and open my ears to hear the amazing sounds in the universe and the amazing sights all around me. So what I would want women to do is to find places and people to connect to, and kindred spirits, and be joyful, as bring joy into the world. Yeah. Somehow find a way to see the joy in the sunrise, and the ability for people to fight for the environment. There's a joy in that. We're looking after as much as we can. In our struggle to understand how to live in communion and community with each other, in our world, in our environment. We're not separate from our environment. And the minute we think we are is where I think I get lost. When I think that, I am not separate. The more I know that, the fuller I am. Yeah. So, hope. People can talk about hope. I don't really think, when I say hope, I don't want to say hope, really. Because I think that when I hope for something, it's not there. And I think everything that we need is here already. I just need to open to it. And I really, really know that. Everything I need is here. I just need to open to it. and my journey is about learning to open. Yeah. So that's some of the things I would want women to know. That being open on our world. A real virtue. And everyone will hear that in a different way.
How can other women help, Leona?
How can they help?
Mm-hmm.
How can they help? Well, how I can help is by being aware of my surroundings, being aware of what is going on around me, and being conscious of what is happening. And when I say conscious of what is happening, it's like the nuances of being in a group and seeing someone kind of disappear without saying anything for a long time. Being conscious of that. Being conscious of when you walk into a room, what's there? Who's happy? Who's unhappy? What is happening in the room? What is happening in the people? What is happening in my friends as I am up and about? And what is happening with the teller that I come up to? You know, like, being aware of my environment. And being aware of what goes on within me as I interact with the environment. And not do it just, you know, I don't know how many times I've been in my own head and I walk out the door and somebody opens the door for me and I walk right through without even noticing that this person has opened the door until they say, thank you. And then, oh my God, I didn't even see that person open the door for me. You know, it's like being open to what's around, being open to, the enjoyment of someone's presence. I think women can help by becoming okay with themselves and becoming caring and loving of themselves. And the more that, as a woman, I love myself, I am able to put that out into the world. The more that I can learn to understand my shadow, and my shadow means my inability to not notice, to not care. My ability to do that. My ability to overlook when I don't need to overlook. Just noticing all that. Is powerful because so much of it goes unnoticed. I am just the way I am, and I don't even notice how I'm not what I want to be, you know, and I don't even notice it so often. And so becoming sensitive to my environment, becoming sensitive to what's going on inside is becoming sensitive to feeling what's going on inside, to feeling what, being able to feel what's happening on the outside. Like, open to your feeling, open to your thoughts. Being able to know that the thoughts aren't who you are. Oh. There's, you know, the magnificence of a human being in our world when we've been so pushed down, degraded, not honored, to somehow turn that whole mountain around and see ourselves in the way that we are part of that and in the way that we are moving out of that place of not honoring who we are and not honoring who you are. If I, as a woman, do that, I think I will have meaning in my world. And as I do that, that's a life journey. You know, so I'm just saying that recognize when I don't. And instead of and have that out there, same, like, if I expose myself, the more I expose myself, the realer I am. Because the only person who can make me safe is myself. So I can learn to be who I am and to put myself out as I create a safe place for me to do that inside. And by a safe place, I mean a place where I can say who I am, can talk about what I feel embarrassed about or ashamed about, and put it out. Yeah. God, I did that. I didn't even know I could do something so crappy. But I did. And own it. And also own the amazing, wonderful things I can do as a woman. Own those that's just as difficult to do as the crap. So women sometimes are caught in between those two things. Not okay to show the crap, and it's not okay to show the really good stuff. And so what happens with women at that moment, you know? It's getting to be so totally okay to show the amazing smarts of a woman, like the intelligence and the ability to write and to create and to discover and to do whatever women do, human beings do on this planet. The potential and the abilities are sometimes just as difficult to acknowledge and to open to as the ability to be crappy is, you know? So that's just kind of like, the more human I am in that aspect, and the more ability I have to recognize that I'm more than all that, and both those avenues are options, and they both make up who a person is in this moment in time. Can be different in the next moment in time. And I say moment by moment. There is the opportunity in every moment in time to shift and be different. Or to stay the same.
Is there anything else that you would like to add, Leona, before we finish our conversation together today?
I think the poets of today, I think poetry is is a way to understand what is not understandable. And so I guess I really want to honor women who are poets. And I think in some way we are all poets, because we're trying to make the world understand something that the world has not been conditioned to understand. And I think the language is poetry. As women, we are poetry to this world.
Thank you, Leona. It's been an honor to be able to have this conversational journey and to learn firsthand from you what you have learned in your life's journey. Appreciating you taking the time from your life to join us here and to share what you have learned with the rest of us.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a really meaningful experience doing this today. I feel very honored that you would be interested, and I thank you for that. Yes, I thank you. And I thank you for how you are in this world. I have a huge appreciation for knowing you and for knowing how you are in this world. Like, I have not had that much experience of you on an individual basis, but I know how you are in the world, and I want to say thank you.
Thank you, Leona. That touches me deeply.